This is CliffCentral.com. Good morning, everybody. A lot of people very excited in Gauteng about a little bit of rain. You'd think it was Noah's flood the way people are carrying on. So excited, huh? Did you get a little excited when you heard the thunder yesterday?
Oh, yeah. My hay fever's been so bad that I heard the rain. I was like, oh, I can feel like a human again.
It's funny. Mine gets... On the morning of the rain, it's the worst. So like
yeah,
this morning,
I was going to say to you earlier, you look like Hugh Bladen after a golf day.
Thanks very much. Yeah, oh. I don't know what's happening. I had to take an allergy antihistamine thing.
It's crippling.
No.
Yeah,
it's absolutely crippling.
What the hay fever?
Yesterday morning, the first 2 hours of my day was basically me feeling like my head was about to explode.
You're just sneezing the whole time, right?
Oh,
not great.
Terrible,
folks. What is going on with you guys?
I know.
It's being humans here.
It's a problem.
It's what happens. We don't get updates like tech devices.
Yeah. You need we an iOS 37.
A software update.
Well, you do. You need a software update. That's the truth.
Every season.
Yeah. Where is it, Elon Musk?
God damn it. And Zuckerberg, where are you?
I don't trust him.
No, nobody should.
Except, who was the guest last week?
Which one?
Gord. No, it was Gord who highly of Mark last week. Yeah.
Gord's going to fall off that cliff with that Pied Piper leading him there.
Yeah. I was watching a lot of YouTube videos over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's some really good stuff out there, and there's obviously a lot of crap as well, but there's some really interesting talk about sort of free speech and offense and, you know, the kind of stuff that I'm interested in.
Which is the joy that is the other side of health and safety, which is a small oppression of our physical movement, so we can't do anything without permission from the state. And political correctness is the oppression of our intellectual movement, so no one says anything anymore in case somebody else gets offended. What happens if you say that and someone gets offended? Well, they can be offended. What's wrong with being offended? When did sticks and stones made break my bones stop being relevant? Isn't that what you teach children, for God's sake? That's what you teach toddlers. He called me an idiot. Don't worry about him. He's a dick. Now you have adults going, I was offended, and I have rights. So what? Be offended. Nothing happens. You're an adult. Grow up. Deal with it. I was offended. I don't care. Nothing happens when you're offended. There's nothing. I went to the comedy show and the comedian said something about the Lord and I was offended. And when I woke up in the morning, I had leprosy. Nothing happens. I want to live in democracy, but I never want to be offended again. Well, you're an idiot. How do you make a law about offending people? How do you make it an offence to offend people? Being offended is subjective. It has everything to do with you as an individual, or a collective, or a group, or a society, or a community, your moral conditioning, your religious beliefs. What offends me may not offend you. And you want to make laws about this? I'm offended when I see boy bands, for God's sake. It's a valid offence. I'm offended. They're corporate shills posing as musicians to further a modelling career, and frankly, I'm disgusted. Well, what am I going to do? Call the cops? Hello, it's me again. They're on the telly this time. Five of them, that's it. Yeah, white suits, dancing like girls, that's them.
All right, you get the basic idea. That's a guy called Steve Hughes. And there's this channel I found called the Free Thought Project. But there was an interesting... confrontation between, you know, We think about climate change. I think you'd have to be pretty stupid to deny that climate change is happening. The question is how much humans have to do with it, whether or not this is part of an overall kind of global direction that the Earth takes, whether it's cooling or it's warming or whatever else it might be, mm-hmm. and then what we're going to do about it. But it's amazing how the minute you have an alternative point of view on this, you get the label climate denier or climate change denier, and then that's the end of the argument. And it seems that one of the people at the front of this whole movement that is just trying to discredit anyone who has a different point of view is Bill Nye, the science guy.
Bill Nye.
Remember Bill Nye, the science guy?
He was my entire high school career.
Now, Bill Nye he's a mechanical engineer. He's not a meteorologist. He's not a climate change specialist, but he seems to have taken on this issue. He got into an argument with Tucker Carlson on Fox News. What makes this interesting is that Tucker Carlson's a dick.
Well, you know, his name kind of set him up for it.
Yeah.
I mean, really, what are you asking for when you name someone Tucker?
Right. You are asking for a lot of teasing on the playground your whole life long.
Stop it.
But he just asks Bill Nye a couple of very simple questions about what the actual numbers are. Bill Nye has no idea. Now, you go on TV as an expert in something. You need to know what you're talking about. Otherwise, you're going to get made a moron.
That's kind of why they brought you there in the first place.
So listen to this.
No, it's a simple question. The climate is always changing. You've conceded that. You're saying that human activity has increased the speed. Increases the speed of that change. And my point is, what would the climate look like right now without human activity?
It would have looked like it did in 1750. Britain would not
have changed during that period.
Yes, Britain would not be very well suited to growing grapes as it is today. French winemakers would not be buying land to the north as they are now. People who plan to run ski resorts would still be able to do it in Europe. And so the climate change and the parasites.
You're using the language of politics. Look, you're not a scientist, as you know. You're a popularizer.
I'm
and
using
I just
the
think,
language
and that's fine.
Of economics.
But
so
I'm just saying,
you
look,
asked what it would
to the extent
be like
that you prevent
human
people.
Effect, okay, did
if you,
you ask
prevent
what
people
like,
from having an honest conversation, you're doing a grave disservice to science. Don't you think that?
So you asked how long it would be before, what the climate would be like if humans weren't involved right now. Is that right?
Yeah. Yes, that's exactly right.
So
at what point
would, be
would
like
it have changed? And I'm just saying you don't actually know because it's unknowable.
So why aren't you open to questions? Okay, it takes you quite a bit less than 6 seconds. So the climate would be like it was in 1750. And the economics would be that you could not grow wine-worthy grapes in Britain as you can today because the climate is changing. The use of pesticides in the Midwest would not be increasing because the parasites are showing up sooner and the pests are showing up sooner and hanging around longer.
I think that's probably all true,
Wyoming
but you
would not be overwhelmed by pine bark beetles as it is.
Right.
Because of climate change. That's how
so
the
much
world
of this you don't know.
For humans.
You pretend that you know, but you don't know.
I
and you bully
disagree
people
with you,
who
sir.
Ask
I
you
really
questions.
Have to disagree with you. Well, I spent a lot of time with this topic.
I'm open-minded. You are not. And we're out of time, unfortunately.
So,
thank you for joining us.
You guys are the mainstream media. And I can tell you why there are leaks. Because the president has created two factions in his administration. They don't like each other. So they leak. It's not from the outside. It's from the inside. Carry on, Mr. Carlson. I'm sure we will cross paths again.
I don't know where that ended because it was Bill Nye getting political. But it's just so odd.
That was just like a pointless...
Right?
I mean, Bill had things to say. This guy didn't like them, but he didn't tell him why he didn't like them.
Annoying.
They're just terrible people.
So that's how I amuse myself over a long weekend. What did everybody get up to?
You really got stuck in the YouTube rabbit hole. Oh. I'm sure you looked up and it's like, what? It's dark out there now and it's been 7 hours?
Yeah, you don't realize.
Yes, remember the one weekend you came back and said, well, this weekend I discovered ISIS fail videos on YouTube.
Yeah,
yes.
Right.
And you were so excited.
Oh, well, it was so much
well,
fun.
Well, you've got to add Somali pirate heist to that.
Is that a real thing?
Yeah. But it's just like the ISIS thing, right? You see these dick bags being blown up by like really big guns. So you see these ships that have been carrying things, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, whether it's
cargo
like
ships.
Cargo ships, whatever. No. But all these cargo ships are now completely armed with like these huge guns, these things that swivel around. Then you got these Russian ships going around that side of Africa. And these, you gotta give credit to these Somalis. They go out there in these little speedboats. And the videos are all based on these guys are about 200 meters away, okay? But now they're going like flat out towards these massive boats. And these guys with the big guns are chuckling. And they go, gah, 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 and they just shoot the crap out of these boats. And there is endless streams of videos like this. Like, if you like your fun a little bit sadistic, this is great. Definitely for you.
So good. Yeah, not my cup of tea, so.
What did you do this weekend, Sia?
Well, went down to Durban with the family. And it started off very, very tame and, you know, PG-13 and ended off, I don't know, I was just permanently drunk the entire weekend.
Oh, wow.
Sure. I wasn't about to fool myself. I think I only saw my family twice.
Oh, wow.
That was a Friday night because I arrived home at like 8 p.m. and then we all went to see my gran on the Saturday, but either than that, I was with friends and I was with, you know, here and there and everywhere, but it was all fun and all cool.
Lucky gran, seeing you drunk and again.
She must have, she understands.
As you went up to hug her, she must have been like, good Lord, that's a lot of liquor for one small person.
It kind of all just equalizes and like works out well. And also in the process, I cannot remember how I ended up here, but we went to a casino and I don't know, like I've been personally like speaking about this for the longest of times. Like I just thought I want to go gambling and it's so glamorous and I have this picture of Vegas in my head. But when you're in, center of Durban.
So you
kind of
not
thought, exactly Vegas.
You kind of thought people were going to be blowing on your dice, throwing craps. Meanwhile, there was a woman with a colostomy bag and a slot machine. Oh.
Someone once told me that like a casino is the saddest place. I now get why.
Oh, yeah, it's so awful. I hate casinos. Oh,
it was pitiful as well as I lost a whole bunch of cash because I did not win anything and I didn't know what I was doing. I was just like on every slot machine pressing buttons.
How much money did you spend?
400 rand.
You played slot machines.
Well, I don't know how to play blackjack or anything.
Simple. Watch for 5 minutes and then carry on.
I know you meant to tap a table at one point or something or the other. And then I also heard that you aren't allowed to like actually film the entire process because I was taking pictures. I wanted to document everything. And for security reasons, you aren't. So I was like, ugh, after I lost money, I was like, I'm done with this. So yeah, went home and got drunk even more. Productive member of society. That's what I am.
I'm always amazed by the people who go and play slot machines. To me, that is, as Ben says, rather set fire to your money. It's just such a pointless exercise. Like there isn't even excitement or joy derived from that exercise. It does nothing for your entertainment value.
Yeah.
You're watching the wheels spin, it's been predetermined. The machine already knows what it's going to roll next. And how you press the button or how many times you tap your foot on the ground or how many times you rummage in your pockets, it's not going to change the role of that drum.
Yeah, but you know, like your slightly slower children when the other ones are kind of playing and not eating dirt. You get the slower ones who are still banging things and they always get attracted by noises and lights.
Right. Well, that's the casino the with slot
version.
Machines.
Yeah. The adult version.
It is.
Don't
it really is.
Say that.
It's
words so freaking full of, now I'm thinking of all the slow people there.
No, it's true though. I mean, listen, we've got...
Is slow offensive? I didn't realize that.
One thing we've got to stop doing
But life's
is
about speed.
We've got to stop imagining that all people are of equal competence and intelligence. They just aren't. I mean, a lot of people can be educated and a lot of people can be trained, but a basic intelligence is either there or it isn't. I mean, we all know, if you think back to school, there was always a kid who used to sit near the back of the class chewing the desk or, you know,
or his hair. Yeah.
Or throwing things at the other kids because he wasn't listening while they're doing
it. Flicking someone's ear.
You know what I mean? Like, there's always been that kid. And you can try as hard as you like to persuade the rest of us that kid, maybe their parents didn't give him enough love or... I think they just are. And they end up, and they are just stupid. They just, for whatever reason, they're just stupid kids. And there are stupid people in the world. You've met them. You know, that woman who blocks the whole aisle with her shopping trolley, and she's going, I can't find the sugar. Where's the sugar? And you're like, I just want to get past you, honey. I don't give a shit about your... She has no concept of the fact that there are other people around her or that she's looking in the wrong aisle or she's looking up at the wrong shelf. She has no idea because she's so dumb. That is her universe right there in that trolley.
Oh,
I just got visuals.
I mean? So at the slot machines, that's the kind of person you're going to get. I'm sorry, but that's just how it is.
But I just felt bad for the amount of people I saw who were spending recklessly.
And let me tell you the scariest part. When we used to do idols at one of these casinos early in the morning on a Monday, we had to go and do a shoot once. On a Monday morning, that would be like today, right? Today's a Tuesday, but any other week it's a Monday. The people sitting there at 8 o'clock in the morning, pensioners being bussed in, and they're sitting there. And they're just hoping for some win because it'll change their lives. But what they end up doing is driving themselves into deeper poverty. And you just feel, your heart goes out to them, dumb or not. You feel sorry for them. It's just so depressing. I hate casinos. I really hate them. I would never outlaw them because I think it's a great way to get money to flow properly.
Okay.
Like, you know, if you're dumb enough to put your money into the machines, you deserve to lose it. And Tsoho-san or whoever else it is that build these huge hotels and they buy up property all over the place and they have massive sort of recreational facilities and shopping malls that they add into the inventory because they can. They're making a ton out of these dumb people.
Yeah, it's creating employment.
And you must never stop stupid people from losing money, ever, because then you're creating a false economy, and when it does collapse, it'll be like a deluge. So you've got to let dumb people spend money on dumb things. That's why you should never outlaw cigarettes or fatty foods or anything. We are all prone to this at some point, but a lot of people live for this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Never stop them. It would be very inhumane of you to do so. What else are they going to do? It's not like they're going to buy up shares or they're going to invest in property or put their kids through school. They need to. Their desire is to get rid of whatever money they have because deep down inside they can't believe they have any. That's the real thing, I'm telling you. So you just got to let them do this stuff. And a casino is the most depressing place to go to if you want to see that happening. So I just avoid them at all costs. Last time I was in a casino, I remember there was a special night out that I went out on with Bob Mabena and company, and Bob and I were playing roulette or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That was the last time I went. But that wasn't even, it was like a social thing that was organized for us, so it wasn't like I chose to go into the casino.
Yeah.
And I don't have a moral problem with anyone else deciding to go in there. You want to do that? That's cool. I have family and friends who love to gamble. But that was the last time I was in a casino. And even then, I got depressed about it. It does nothing for me. I don't understand how people do this for fun. Eat, sure. Watch a movie, sure. You know, go out into the open air and do something fun, sure.
Yeah.
If you want to go out and drink with your mates, that's fine. Hundreds. To go and sit on your own, because usually it's people on their own.
Covered in a cloud of smoke as well.
Yeah, they're sitting at the machine. And they're on there, and this machine is, it's such rudimentary technology. It's like, it's drums spinning that have been programmed to spin. The oldest computers used to run like that. It's not even updated. It doesn't say your name when you arrive in front of it and do facial recognition. You can't check your Instagram while you're busy waiting for the drums to spin. There's nothing interesting that's new that's happened in the world of slot machines. It's the same. Someone born in 1940 would recognize the same machine now. That hasn't happened for any other machine. A radio didn't look like it does now in 1940. A phone doesn't look like it did in 1940. None of those things look the same.
Oh, Gareth, you're being a bit harsh. I think the sounds have progressed to polyphonic.
Now he's being harsh.
Yeah, I think the sounds have gone polyphonic.
Do you know what snobs you've sounded like in the last few minutes?
You always go this route,
no,
my buddy.
No, but you, like, honestly.
You and your high horse.
You people love to walk around looking down on the rest of us, thinking that you're better than us.
It's called social commentary.
I mean, we have...
Well, that's my natural predisposition, so I'm out of this equation.
We have new kinds of addictions today. I mean, how dumb must you be to be addicted to Instagram or Twitter or YouTube or
videos.
Facebook
or
gaming?
You're being part
like
of society
sitting down,
with that.
Sitting down and watching people game for a living. That's how you choose to spend your time? Like, come on. Come on, guys.
Look, I mean, I'll be with you on the gaming. That's
yeah,
my
there you life. Go. We have different kinds of addictions, all of us.
Yes, but you are far too nice to these people who make the bad life decisions.
In other news, I will have to say, if you're looking to...
Sia just hates a conflict. He's like, in other news.
No. It's kind of related. But like, if you're looking for a sad little person who you want to take home, the casino's a place to go as well. Because everyone is slightly drunk. Everyone is slightly disappointed as well.
That's what
Your standards are lower.
Okay, now you sound like a snob.
But you know what?
I got hit
can
on.
Can I just change gear in one direction on this very, very brief?
Yeah.
I don't want to go into it too much, but one of the things I find really sad about the casino is probably the worst part of it is the kids. Who you see, like, sitting in this sort of horrible room, the only room there that isn't smoky because it's been air-conditioned out to -7 degrees. Mm. You see these little kids sleeping on sofas and, you know, and it's just, man, it's just so depressing because then you think, well, that kid's childhood is going to be full of memories of its parents just gambling the night away while it slept.
Well, it can get worse when you walk out and you see three kids in the back seat and the mother in the front seat and the dad's inside.
Oh, that's terrible.
Rolling the dice.
Oh, that's terrible.
And at least they're not even in the air-conditioned room.
You know that's why they make you pay your parking when you drive in?
Yeah.
Because you won't have money when you go out.
Yeah.
Oh.
They're covering their backs.
But somehow, I just always thought it's because they make the money up as well. Because it's always a standard fee. It's not like a shopping center. Interesting. Well, yeah. Interesting weekend.
Yeah, they know that you're going to come out of the casino with no money, so they charge you the money going in.
Mm, and then they take whatever you've got on your person while you're in the casino.
It's like a stick-up. It's like they come up to you with a gun in between your shoulder blades, and they go, right, give me everything you've got. Oh,
that's another way of looking at it.
Hey. All right, tell us what you got up to this weekend. Ben, did you do anything fun?
A lot, Gareth. I did a lot.
Tell us.
Well, firstly, Meowsis went to the vet and I spent a cat arm and a leg.
This animal is really, she's costing you the world.
She is. She's costing me as much as my drone now.
Is it worth it?
Oh.
Yeah, of course. I mean, Meowsis is amazing. And
really?
She went for a full service. She's like a vintage car. Top to bottom, she had everything checked out. She had two teeth pulled out.
Mm.
And now she's like 2 years younger. Yeah, the first day, she looked like she was at a rave. Her face was to the side, and she was frothing a bit at the mouth because of the anesthetic.
Good Lord.
But then she's great now. She's eating solids. She's all over it.
But how long did it take for her to forgive you? Because she always hates you after a trip to the vet.
Yeah, but I think she's seen the light. Like, she was pretty friendly to me straight away. Even in her zoned out state, she was rubbing against me. Like, she's cool. And then I did some virtual reality filming this weekend on the golf course.
How did that go?
Well, I haven't seen the finished product yet. We're going to be editing this week. But it's really cool. So basically, it's two cameras back to back. So this friend of mine, Rowan, he was actually here with Sunshine Cinema.
I thought you're just using like Royal Peru.
No, I'm not like you, sir. So it's this really, really cool camera system and very, very simple. And we played 9 holes, mic'd up with lapel mics, and we put these cameras in strategic spots. And I'm so excited about what it's going to do. So I really want to get into the whole virtual reality thing. You know, with that, and you can, there's even like a little harness you can strap onto your drone and put these cameras on. So you can get the virtual reality from the air and the ground. I am so excited. I spent the rest of the weekend watching stuff about virtual reality, 360 videos. Like, this is, it's me again being excited about tech and things like that.
That sounds good.
Yeah. And then yesterday I spoke about rugby on the ENCA.
Oh. Yes,
I saw a picture of you.
I saw the whole thing. I actually got a recording.
Well, thankfully, I chatted to one of their better anchors because every now and again you get a bit of a dud.
Shame.
Well, you do. So, yeah, this is not me being horrible. Don't you look at me like that, my buddy Malloy.
I'm just sitting here in my corner.
I'm just saying it's a bit of an Amazon forest in here because I slightly shady. Will you name who this is?
I like doing these things from time to time because it makes me realize how much better radio is and how much more fun we have here because we can actually discuss things. there it's like, and now over to you, and now back to you, and here to here.
It's like they're playing a game of sorts, just passing the ball from one person to the next.
It's like a game show where there's no prizes.
I don't know how well this came out, but here it is. Do we have time for this quickly?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sort of.
All right, let's take a listen to this. Let me see if I can get this working. Ay, ay, ay. This is definitely not working. Hang on.
I'm hearing a few words like,
there we go. Almost.
Operation. Yeah. Amidst rumors, it will be bailing out struggling SOEs, notably, of course, SAA. And more than a dozen Western Cape officers are being investigated this after the theft of 30 guns up in 2023. The team is being led by Deputy President Cyril Ramaphosa, supported, of course, by the Sports Minister Tulas Inhlesi and his Deputy Gert Oosthuizen. Ireland and France are the other contenders for the tournament. But what really are South Africa's chances? Rugby analyst Ben Kopinski joins us now on the show to unpack this. So, Ben, good to have you with us. And following the bounce of this, of course, is this a good...
Wow, guys.
This guy was giving me a punt all over the place. Amazing.
We love
like
this.
The hype man.
Right. Hi, rugby analyst.
Good idea or bad idea?
It's a brilliant idea. There's no more appropriate country to host such an event. We've got everything going for us. Absolutely everything. France will have a great bid. Ireland will have a great bid. Ireland will say they're the first timers. But if you really break it down, South Africa is the country to have it.
Why?
Rugby stadiums, infrastructure, we've got the airports, we've got the fan culture, you name it, we've got it. But what we must actually kind of look at as South Africans is, what's the world going to look at? Because we can tell the great story of 95 and Madiba and everything, but what's really happening in the country right now? We've got an ANC that's power struggling very hard right now. We've got elections in 2019. So when they look at these bids, they're going to go, well, we've got two kind of stable countries, and we've got a country where we're not entirely sure come 2023. So we, sports-wise, no doubt, I'm really kind of a little bit nervous about the other side.
The other side being?
Well, it's the other side as far as rugby takes place, obviously, much further from the field.
Okay.
Field of play, we got that sorted. Right. But where the country's going to be 6-7 years' time with the current trajectory we're on, that's going to come into consideration when they do choose someone.
These get very expensive, though, these events. Could we afford, do you think, with the currency and with the logistics of getting everything up and running and up to scratch again for 2023, if that is the case, do you think financially this would make good sense for us? It'll be great PR.
Well, without doubt, like I said, the infrastructure is kind of there. We've got a great fan culture. We've got Super Rugby happening here. We've got Currie Cups happening here. We've got Rugby Championships. It's not going to be like the Commonwealth Games where we're looking to pull many a rabbit out of many hats there, none of which are kind of ours, I think. So it's going to be very easy for us to get that. When politicians say we've got the money for it, no biggie. It really is. It's a great investment. Minimal input's going to be huge. Oh. It's going to be profit, which is a really good thing. Is that the...
This is how professional Ben sounds. Good at this.
Sure.
Oh, is this the first time you're seeing that he's possibly good at this?
I watched the whole thing. It was very good. And he looks super confident on TV as well. You know, a lot of people start getting their shakes and they don't look very happy on television.
Well, thank you, Gareth, because every time I do this, I always think, just sit still. Because at the moment they go, and over to rugby analyst, which I always find funny. Everyone just starts to move a bit. You never know what to do with your hands.
Yeah.
But now I've got this thing where, okay, left elbow on the table. Breathe.
Oh, yeah. It's only left.
Don't forget to breathe.
Now, if Mabali was questioning you, she would have asked much tougher questions.
Yeah, she would have probed me.
Back in the days when they had quality people like Mubs there.
Wow, okay. But yeah, I would have definitely probed you.
There we go.
it was kind of awkward from there. So the thing ended. It all went according to plan, I guess. And then I'm walking out. And as you walk out, there's like these big cameras, and they've got the big boom cameras, right? And the big barbells that kind of weight it down.
Yes.
Oh, no. So I'm trying to get out of there like kind of quietly and stealthy because the bulletin carries on. And for some reason, I just hit my head so hard on one of those barbells, but like clunked it to where I'm sure the camera actually moved. I hit it so hard. But what made it even worse is because it was actual trauma to my skull. I then rolled into the news area and everyone's now looking at me because they just heard this massive crash and my head is like throbbing.
Oh my God.
I mean, I wouldn't go full Pat Lambie, but my head is still kind of sore.
Wow. And that's a big head.
And that's a huge bunch of weights as well.
Well, if anyone's head was going to hit the weights, it must have been yours. It had to have
But
been.
The fact that there was such a noise, and everybody who was filing stories at the time then looked around, and there's me. I was on the floor. Mm. I even did, like, I did a roll.
You fell on the floor?
So, yeah, I was knocked to the ground, and then I did, like, a pain roll. You know when you're not quite sure how bad it is, so you just try roll to see where it goes?
Oh, that's so embarrassing.
That's hectic.
Because how do you get up now?
Well, exactly.
Because everyone's trying to do their job. You're in pain, but at the same time, you want to have some sort of dignity. I'm not rubbing salt in the wound.
No, no. And at the same time, Daniela's phoning me, so I'm trying to answer a phone call. And I'm quite a scene.
Listen, you're okay. He got in here. He's not drooling at the moment. I think we're okay.
Like meowses after her visit to the vet.
Let's get to the news. It's time to find out the five things you need to know to start your day today. It's brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria. If you're looking for high-quality food and great service teamed with a relaxed atmosphere, then Colcacchio Pizzeria is the place for you. Colcacchio Pizzeria is a family-friendly environment which allows everyone to enjoy being part of the whole pizzeria experience, not to mention their terrific menu and the fact that you can even make your own salad. You can put your whole thing together the way you like it, among other things. Let's get to Mubs, see what's going on. Haven't had your music for a while.
Yes, I've missed it.
You missed this?
Yep. Yes, it is stunning. So our Chief Justice, Mogoeng Mogoeng, has been named as the 2017 South African of the Year. This is according to a poll which was hosted by News24 in conjunction with the National Braai Day Initiative as part of Heritage Day celebrations. Mogoeng garnered nearly two-thirds of the vote, 63%. He is followed by the Blitzbokker, so they are voted second South Africans of the Year.
All right.
They got 21% of the share. And then tennis player Kevin Anderson came in at third.
Really? No, Atul Gupta. That philanthropist.
Ben.
With an amazing website.
Atul Gupta. You thought he'd be in the running?
This sounds a bit, I don't know.
Who voted on this?
Yeah. Well, a panel of journalists and other experts came up with the five names here. And the list also included the long jump world champion Luvo Manyonga, as well as Ndebele artist Gogo Esther Mahlangu, who has been killing it in the news of late. She's just been all over the place. But then Luvo and Esther Mahlangu then fell off the top five list so that they could find a final three. And as I said, this panel of journalists and experts got together. They had a whole list of criteria, and our Chief Justice, Mogoeng Mogoeng, came out the top guy. He is the South African of the Year, according to this poll.
Well, he has done an incredible job in the last while, and we all thought that he was, you know, kind of one of those people who was just put into position by the president because he could control him.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out he couldn't.
Yep.
So, yeah, I'm all in favor of that.
All right. Now, are you in favor of water devices being installed in Cape Town households? Because that is exactly where they're headed. Water management devices may soon be a reality in all households across the Western Cape. The city says that they're going to install the devices in at least 50,000 households. Of course, they're trying to reduce the collective water usage to 500 million liters per day. And, you know, the city says that they're coming down strong on those who consume the most water. They're saying that those individuals are going to be dealt with.
Oh, my God, that's crazy.
You know, like on your utility bills now, they actually tell you how you're faring. If you're being good, if you're being bad.
Oh, really? In Cape Town? That's what they're doing?
Yeah.
Huh. Sure. Well, look, desperate times are calling for desperate measures because the Western Cape is experiencing one of its worst droughts in decades, with dam levels around 37.5%. No exact timeline as yet as to when they're going to begin installing these water devices. But yeah, that seems to be the next part of the problem solving.
They better hurry.
Well, they should also just install those devices that create water from the air. That we spoke about.
Oh.
How about that?
Uh-huh.
No, government's always going to be, no, we must clamp down.
Yeah, I think at this stage there really needs to be more than just one proposed solution to this problem.
You knew!
Like, come up with a list of five solutions.
Right.
And then implement them all at once.
Yeah.
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 Which actually involve creating, again, not telling people not to do it. We get it.
An Egyptian woman believed to be the world's heaviest person died yesterday.
How big was she?
Gareth, when she went into hospital in May this year, she weighed in around 500 kilograms.
Oh, wow.
500 kilograms.
That's like almost 10 of me.
She is believed to have been the world's heaviest person. Of course, it's difficult. It's difficult keeping a recorded document of all these things because obviously you're not aware of all the heavy people in different parts of the world.
Well, yeah, I mean, amongst heavy talk though, once you go half a ton, I don't think you can have just, it's quite a.
That's right. That's half a ton.
Ooh. A team of more than 20 doctors had been caring for the bedridden Eman Ahmed Abed Al Atti, who was just...
She actually had Abed in her name? That's so funny.
She was just 37 years old, guys. That's nothing. That's young.
Yo, to be so fat at 37.
Yeah, but like, there's got to be a story here. I mean, does she just like discover Twinkies at 13 and then at 14 she got into like... Did she have a husband who was a feeder?
Yeah, must have been.
You know what, Ben? As to how she got to be 500 kilograms, I don't have that information. But in May this year, that was when she was...
I'll tell you how she got to be 500 kilograms. She just did not stop eating.
Right. Okay, yes. Yes, Gareth.
There's no other way that happens. She didn't osmose the fat from the air.
She first sought treatment in India. And it had actually been very difficult for her to get to India because initially, you know, the country denied her entry and then no airline wanted to transport her because how?
Look, I'm pretty sure a few doorways denied
like,
her entry.
How do you transport individual?
You put butter. Okay. You put butter on every doorway.
Oh my gosh. Eventually she ended up undergoing bariatric surgery. The following month after being hospitalized, she actually managed to lose 100 kilograms at the hospital. But, I suppose the heart and the kidneys had suffered way too much damage. And so, yesterday she passed away.
Yeah. Man.
Oh, sorry. Was that a bit of a downer? I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah, we were enjoying mocking her fatness until she died.
Well, that's, I mean, if there's a lesson to be learned there, folks, to do not become overweight.
Well, you know, you can
do not become obese.
Sure. But Mubs, you can almost see this as a form of suicide. We aren't going to function at 500 kilograms.
Yeah. Look, she ate her way to her grave.
Yeah.
There's no other way to put it. The SABC on Sunday apologized to Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma for their recent mistakes on their news bulletins. Do you remember that picture that went viral of Nkosazana on screen and then the strap of her name read?
Nkosazana Mini Dlamini?
Mini-Zuma.
Mini-Zuma, that's what it was, yeah.
Now, that happened in August already, and it is only now, this past weekend, that the SABC have issued an official apology. And they are apologizing to her.
Oh, wow.
This was revealed in a statement released by the SABC acting group CEO, Nomsa Piliso. Mm. Who isn't acting on that board?
It's all actors. It's like Hollywood.
Now, more recently, one of their news headlines also referred to her as Zuma's ex, rather than using her name, which, you know, a lot of people get very, very sensitive about these days. Yeah. The group CEO is saying that, yes, it was sexist and wrong on our part. And they also apologized to, you know, having referred to her as Mini Zuma.
Wow. Well, they also revealed who her top picks would be for cabinet positions and for positions in the ANC if her slate wins. And they're not an impressive bunch of people, really.
Oh.
Jesse Duarte stays in there in the same position she's in. Didi Mabuza comes in as deputy president of the ANC, according to her. It's not, I mean, it's all Premier League and ANC Youth League people. It's terrible. It's a really bad composition. And then I saw a thing on the news while I was waiting for Ben to come on yesterday on ENCA. Lindiwe Sisulu was at some Ahmed Katrada thing. And she was so unimpressive, like so unimpressive. She was repeating herself and you could see she hadn't like prepared. There was a speech, but she was not.
So it's kind of like fumbling through it.
Yeah, it was not good. I thought she was smart. After watching that, I was very disappointed in her.
It wasn't the most complex speech either. You think she could have memorized bits of it.
Yeah, she's like, he's angry when he died, and he was angry, and you know, he was so angry. I'm like, yes, you said that twice.
I wonder if these orators, because that's what we call them, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to... You have to be good
to be called an orator.
Oh, okay. Mm. If you're ever going to stand before a crowd or before cameras or and deliver something, I wonder if people practice before they do it, because that's what they should be doing. You should be standing in front of the mirror. You should at least go through it once, at least.
Well, you know, Moussi Mamani's doing that. He's an orator.
Yeah. He's prepping. He's prepping up a storm.
He's South Africa's Obama. Let's say what you want about
the DA, but they can orate like no one.
Is Obama. All right, let's get to Ben and see what's going on in the sport. All right,
over to you, rugby analyst.
Rugby analyst. Better believe it,
Ben Kipinski is what he called you.
Yeah.
Well, following the bounce.
Over to you.
Thank you, Sia. Right. So the Rugby 2023 World Cup 2019 is going to Japan. Now, what normally happens if you look through the history, which is something to maybe draw upon, because yesterday all you heard was how great this country is at hosting rugby tournaments, which I will not deny, but every 4 years it kind of goes back to Europe. Sorry to break it to you, but this is how it works, because the head of World Rugby is in Dublin. Yeah. People love going back to England. They've had it like 2-3 times already.
Yeah.
So Japan gets it now, 2019. You got to think that 2023 they're going to go back to Europe. So we can all... So wave a flag and say really great things about this whole country and all this kind of stuff. But it's not looking likely. Ireland will probably become the favorites from what people have been saying. It'll be the first time Ireland have ever hosted the Rugby World Cup. France, there's no way France should even be in the reckoning. They've had it twice already.
Yeah, come on, that's not fair.
Give it a break. French people aren't very pleasant either. And then you got ISIS. So it should be down to Ireland and South Africa. And if you really think about it, Ireland's weather is just dreadful. It's dreadful. Even if they were to have...
It rains when it's raining.
Yeah, exactly.
What?
Even the rain says, oh no, it's raining again. And it's just, I'm sure it's a lovely place to go get drunk. It's a fun place. That people are very charming and they've got great accents. But you should only pick South Africa for this thing. Because, firstly, it's cheaper to drink Guinness in Cape Town than it is drinking Dublin. It really is. Fans will come here and there's things to do. Like there's beaches, there's game farms, there's all kinds of really, really great things. But as I said, you know, we've all had that sort of speech. But what the world authorities, the world rugby is going to look at and go, well, think about Ireland 2023. It'll just be Ireland. Everything we can understand and bank on. Same with the French, really. But who really knows? You know, we talk about the politicians give us, to put it this way, the Rugby World Cup 2023 is like a job interview for us. Only problem is our drunk uncles are going to the job interview on our behalf. Because that's where the politicians...
Speaking of unimpressive people, I saw Francois Pienaar busy pleading our case. Now, I mean, they wheel him out every time.
They have to, yeah.
And he is not a very articulate human being. He really isn't. It's almost like he's got a mouthful of buffalo balls. The guy has not learned to speak English despite all attempts since the Rugby 90... 1995 is a long time ago. He has still not learned to speak English.
Well, I was
He sounds like he's just got off the tractor. I mean, it's a horrendous thing to see.
Well, Gareth, I was going to go with him being one of the stronger people in the delegation yesterday.
Really?
Because you got
who else have we got?
You got Brad Tulas. He's there. I don't know if he even talks much. Mark Alexander, he can't reach a microphone stand. And then you got Cyril. Now, what has Cyril added weight to other than his bank account for the last 5 years? You know, it could have been worse. With Jacob, if he wasn't at the UN, he would have gone and pitched this thing yesterday. Oh, so unfortunately, our politicians make it very difficult for us to win this. The state of the country, you know, you've got to take into consideration, junk status means something to the whole world. They're going to go, oh, well, South Africa, they've just been given junk status. Ah, okay, so 2023, maybe not the best place to take a sports tournament. Like, we can't get away from this stuff. And as much as we love clapping brandy and coke and watching rugby and going, oh, we've got the best Falcon stadiums in the world, that's all good and well. But in the global scheme of things, this country isn't maybe like the dependable thing you want to go for. So that's the Rugby World Cup 2023 bid. All I can say is best of luck.
I got to tell you, your report this morning is much better than what you said at ENCA last night.
I agree with you there.
We're getting real value.
Right. Remember the bobsleigh woman in England who couldn't go to the Olympics?
Well, they had their funding cut.
Yeah. And I said, well, just slow your jets. This is going to become a great story. They crowdfunded the £30,000 they needed, and they're going to go. And not only are they going to go, they're going to damn win it.
They better
now. They better win, because what a story, right? The people are powering them. This is their whole slogan. They're being powered by the people, quite literally. So Pyeongchang, here they come. The women's bobsleigh from England.
Yeah, not Pyongyang, as we discovered.
If women go to Pyongyang with a bobsleigh, they might not leave. Probably eaten.
Depends on whether Kim Jong-un puts them into his harem or not. You know, he's got a harem of women.
Exactly. Justin Thomas, he won big over the long weekend. So he won the FedEx Cup, which meant that he won $10 million. But he's also kind of the player of the season. So he started off the season really hot. He won three events. He shot a 59. He set a course record, tournament record at the Sony Open. He then shot 59. Sorry, he shot 63 in the US Open. He then shot, he then won the US PGA. PGA. He's just been the guy. And he won last week at the BMW Championship. Sorry, not BMW Championship. He finished second at the Tour Championship. Let me just get my facts straight here. So he wins the whole thing. So the whole season, he has won $19.9 million. Justin Thomas, the golfer. $19.9 million. Do you know how nervous his girlfriend will be right now? Women are going to be throwing themselves at this guy left, right, and center.
Yeah.
$20 million for a year, and we're not even talking endorsements. This is so much money for a young guy.
But you see, this is where it becomes critical decision-making time for a lot of women who want to be wags. Like, at some point, you need to choose either your man or the money. You can't have both. Yeah, so either you choose... No, this is how it works. Either you choose his money, and then you put up with all his infidelity.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. You can't have both.
Because when Jordan Spieth won his first major, he was like 21, right? He had his girlfriend from like varsity. Bitches were coming up to him, side-eyeing her on live TV the moment that putt sank. So, I mean, this guy, we can talk about the golf, or we can talk about what's really going on here. His girlfriend's got some tough times ahead. She's going to have to learn Taekwondo or something to knock him down. But if you look at the money, if we are going to go into the money, back in 1988, Curtis Strange was the first guy to ever win $1 million in one PGA Tour season.
Really?
1988. He was the top, the best. When you finish 107th on the PGA Tour, you've won $1 million. Ever heard of Siang Yun-no?
No.
No, babe.
Well, after 31 events in the PGA Tour, he's won over $1 million. Steve Stricker, who's like 90, he played 13 events. He won $1 million this year on the PGA Tour. Tyrrell Hatton, Gareth's favorite golfer. Also, 13 events, $1.1 million.
Also my favorite golfer. Oh.
You love him because he's got a hat in his name. It's a German hat. Yeah, how's that for money, huh? Talk about inflation in all the right ways. But it's a huge week of sport. We've got the President's Cup coming up. So that's the rest of the world taking on America, and they're going to lose terribly. And then we've got SA back in the Test Arena. They're playing Bangladesh in Potchefstroom. So if you're going to be binge drinking in Potch this week, you've got the Proteus to watch. What a win that is. And, Rugby Championships is back. Alistair Goodseer says that the loss to the All Blacks has not defined the team. It's how they bounce back. This weekend, they're going to bounce back against Australia. So you've got all that to look forward to. Plus, tonight, we've got Champions League football. Big week for Liverpool. They're away to Spartak Moscow. That's going to be horrible for them. But Real Madrid, they'll be at Borussia Dortmund. And Apul will be hosting Tottenham Hotspurs.
Okay.
So I'll give you all that, big wrap-up of the football, and more towards the weekend. As tomorrow's already Wednesday.
I know, it's incredible. Isn't that great?
Fantastic.
I think a four-day week is a way better thing to have.
Yeah. Definitely.
All right, let's get to Anthea and see what's going on in the money shot.
She looks hard for the money, so hard for it, honey. She works hard for the money, so you better treat her right.
Good morning, Anthea.
Good morning, Gareth.
What's happening?
Yeah, a relatively quiet day on Friday. Only $1.3 billion traded. I think the most notable move, though, was the change in direction of the rand, which strengthened to 13.21. And this is on the back of the Reserve Bank leaving rates unchanged on Thursday. Unfortunately, I see it's a bit weaker again this morning. I mean, I think just developed market currencies are doing well. You know, Merkel won the elections. The dollar's fairly strong, which is a bit of a surprise because there's a lot of tension between the U.S. and North Korea at the moment. And in fact, it's done their stock market no good, because the market yesterday was down quite a bit. And in fact, Asia this morning as well has kind of caught this negativity, if you like. And then the other big news in Europe is that Lillian Bettencourt passed away. She was the L'Oreal heiress, the wealthiest woman in the world. And I saw a fairly bizarre news article on Forbes. They noted that L'Oreal's share was up 2.5% on Friday. So they only announced her passing away on Thursday, and that her estate had increased by $1 billion on Friday. She was worth $45 billion when she died.
Jeez, that's a way to go.
for her daughter, sure.
Now, what are their businesses, L'Oreal?
The makeup business.
Right.
And then I think there's slightly more to it, actually, because there is a possibility that Nestlé, who own, I think it is almost 20% of L'Oreal, are going to sell back their stake to the company, which I think is going to be good for L'Oreal share price. So maybe that's also driving the share price. Because I don't think...
How old was old Lillian?
94.
Yeah.
Decent innings, eh?
Yeah, not bad. Sure. Yeah. Leaves $45 billion in her wake.
Yeah, it's not a shabby amount of money. And then I see Uber lost their license in London, and this has been a big drama. All I'm saying is, the only reason I bring it up is because if the share was listed, I think it would have fallen 20% in a heartbeat on that news on Friday. I mean, of course, I'm speculating a little bit, I'm guessing. But I really think that would have happened. So all the companies that go and list, you know, kind of be wary of where you get your capital from. Mm-hmm. And then back home, I want to call it the battle, but it's not. Let's call them discussions between AfriSam and PPC seem to be heating up. On, I think it was Wednesday or Thursday, PPC claimed that AfriSam's offer of R5.75 per share, so about 2 billion rand for the all shares, had undervalued the company. AfriSam came back on Friday saying that the merger offer was a fair price. And I guess we'll only really know when Dangote makes a firm offer. Mm-hmm. And of course, we haven't even seen Lafarge Holcim come into play yet. So we're all very anxious and waiting because we do own some PPC shares.
All right.
And then on the topic of big deals, one more. Remgro announced that they are taking on the margarine business and basically swapping it out for their stake in Unilever. I think it's a 25.75% ownership in Unilever South Africa, not the entire group, that they're exchanging for. And they feel they can do more with the spreads business, as they call it. So the margarines, the Stork, Rondo, all those, the spreads business.
There's money in margarine, huh?
Oh, indeed. It's a 12 billion rand deal.
Wow.
Yeah.
Who's using all that margarine?
Yes, exactly. Watch those hearts.
That woman from Egypt.
Best woman in the world.
All right, Anthea, anything else going on that we need to be aware of this week?
I just want to warn about one other thing, Gareth. On Friday, I saw an article that said Pick n Pay, in their bid to become competitive and to Ghana retail clients, are now starting to offer credit on groceries. Ooh. And I know Woolworths already does it, but it makes me nervous. You know, Smart Shopper is Pick n Pay's loyalty card. They have 7 million members, and it's done well. They've done well to use that to kind of increase their market share and to bring in clients. But it's being run by RCS, which is the credit division, if you like, or it's a credit company. And I have seen RCS charge up to 20% per annum. So if you're buying 7,000 rands worth of groceries, over the 2 years of credit line that they give you, it's going to cost you 10,700 rand. And the problem is buying consumables on long-term credit.
I mean, the only things that you should be taking credit on are massive purchases like houses and maybe cars.
I absolutely agree with you.
The rest of the time, even if you have to cut down on everything, I mean, it's not worth it because they're gonna rip you off, man. Long term, you're going to get screwed.
Absolutely. So I just really wanted to warn against that. And I know the credit regulator is working hard to ensure that people are not buying consumables or getting overcharged, or, you know, this Edgar's was one of those where they got wrapped over the knuckles for kind of excessive charges and for charging for that club fee or whatever it was. But please be careful out there, kind of my message.
Interest rates are kind of crazy in that environment.
Yeah. Well, at RCS, it's like 20% per annum.
No, that's not good. That's really not good. For groceries you've already eaten and finished.
Indeed.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you,
Anthea. So the market's a bit negative this morning, so it doesn't look like it's going to be a great day, unfortunately.
Well, you know, we've had a long weekend, so don't expect too much action.
And we take it as it comes, right?
All right. Thanks, Anthea.
Pleasure. Cool. Bye.
Anthea Gardner, and a look at the money shot every morning. And from the 1st of October, only Mondays. But we'll get an extended version on a Monday, so you'll get your value out of Anthea every week, I promise you. Okay, lots of stuff still to come, lots of things still to talk about. We'll get into some news, we'll find out what you got up to over the long weekend. And Balesa is waiting to take your calls on 0861-555-189. You can WhatsApp us on 0797482090.
Yo, remember back on the bully when cats used to harmonize like...
This is CliffCentral.com.